Though the sun is sweltering overhead, at once I am cold everywhere. Goose flesh pricks on my arms and legs, and ice leaks through my stomach. Gone? I picture Rachel, her golden brown hair and soft ringlets, her warm brown eyes. Have you checked the barn? David Charles nods. John comes running up behind him and skids to a stop, looking like David Charles's slightly shorter twin, his cheeks red and eyes wide. The orchard? Another nod. God forbid. The crick? His face clears. Not yet. Then go! I turn to John. Go fetch Hiram from the mill. As both boys turn and race back up the road, I pick up my skirts and run after them, all the while whispering a prayer under my breath. I reach the shadowed shallows of the crick just behind David Charles. Rachel is not at the spot where the boys were splashing earlier. I send David Charles to follow the crick up toward our canyon while I trail the stream back toward town. Darting between cottonwood trees, I scan the black ripple of water between the stones. The cold inside me seems to deepen. The sun bores down in incongruous yellow beams between the branches. A flash of pink catches my eye, and I scramble forward. A jam of leaves and twigs has slowed the crick's flow, creating a kind of pool. A limp figure rests near the bottom, dress tangled about her legs. Rachel. The cold inside me turns solid. Ice in my veins that makes me sluggish pins me to the spot. Move, I tell myself. Rough hands push me aside and I stumble, falling to my knees. But I don't mind the stinging pain, because it's my older brother, Hiram, splashing into the stream and catching Rachel up to him, water plastering his white shirt to his arms. He carries her out of the water and crouches, resting Rachel face down across his knee so that her wet curls dangle past her cheeks. He thumps her back. Once, twice, three times. He flips her over and puts his mouth on hers, breathing air into her lungs. Paralysis broken, I crawl toward him, tears stinging salt against my tongue. My sister's face is white, some waxen doll with a smudged cheek and gnarled hair. Thump, thump, thump. Hiram turns Rachel over again. John catches up with us, and I take his hand as I stand. He squeezes tight. This time, Rachel coughs weakly, and I release my held breath on a grateful sigh. Then Rachel gags, and a torrent of river water washes out of her, over Hiram's ruined shoes, over mine. Her eyes flutter briefly, but do not open. Hiram stands and carries Rachel back to the house. I follow, accusation keeping time with my footsteps. Selfish, selfish. If I hadn't left Rachel. Mama will have my hide for sure. But I would brave all Mama's anger if only Rachel might live. Hiram sets Rachel in the bed I share with Emily, rather than pulling out her own trundle bed. He looks at me, brown eyes wide and helpless, and I step in, stripping off her wet clothes and tucking the blankets in tight around her. Her fingertips and lips are blue. The front door bangs and I jump. A wild hope fills me. Mama is back early. But the footsteps running toward my room are light and eager. My hope dissolves into guilt. It's only little Henry. I forgot all about him. Suppose something had happened to him, too. Another bang and my door opens. Henry never could move quietly.
What's going on? I saw everyone running.
He inches around John, standing unusually still in the middle of the room, and peers at Rachel.
Is she dead?
No. I say, more sharply than I mean to. Please, no. I look over my shoulder at John. Take Henry into the other room and keep him there.
Where's David Charles?
Hiram asks as the boys leave, looking around the room as though the oldest of the trio of younger boys might materialize from the walls.